Amen. Be seated. Yes, that's been the theme for our series from Nehemiah. This is our 10th lesson in this series. It comes from chapters 11 and 12 of Nehemiah. I would encourage you to open your Bibles there, especially if you'd like to follow along. The people are ready to settle in now. They've renewed their pledges to God. They've made commitments to Him. We saw that last week and the week prior to that. They're dedicating the fruit of their labors to Him. The bulk of this section, chapters 11 and 12, contains a record of where they are going to be settling. The descendants of Judah and Benjamin, along with the priests and Levites, are listed. Yes, there's a lengthy list of names. Matter of fact, chapter 11 is almost all names. And their first part of chapter 12, there's an awful lot as well. But we don't want to miss the gem that is in the midst of the names. And once again, the list of names, even we shouldn't just skip over that, as hard and difficult as it is to maybe for us to read. It's telling us something again, that God recognizes individuals, people. People are precious to Him. They're important to Him. Every person in the kingdom matters to God. That tells me you matter to God. That should tell me I matter to God. And we should be encouraged by that. As these people are recorded and listed. A couple of weeks ago, I pointed out that there's a distinct group that was mentioned in the midst of all of the others, the singers. And in this passage in chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, we're going to find that the same thing's done for musicians, that musicians are mentioned. Now, my throat's been giving me a little bit of difficulty, and there's this long list of names. So we're going to listen to the reading, chapter 12, verse 24, and then it's going to skip to verse 27, okay? But I'd like you to follow along, listen closely if you don't have your Bibles open, and listen for the theme, for the message found here.
The leaders of the Levites and their associates stood opposite them to give praise and thanksgiving, one section responding to the other, as prescribed by David, the man of God. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Azmaveth. For the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right, toward the Dung Gate. Hoshaiah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, as well as some priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his associates, Shemaiah, Azarel, Melalei, Gilalei, Mai, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the site of David's palace to the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall, together with half the people, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, over the Gate of Ephraim, the Jeshana Gate, the Fish Gate, the Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Sheep Gate. At the Gate of the Guard, they stopped. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials, as well as the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with their trumpets, and also Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzai, Jehohanan, Melchijah, Elam, and Ezer. The choir sang under the direction of Jezrahiah. And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. At that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes. From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the musicians and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron.
If you were using the Pew Bibles, you may have seen the word singers instead of musicians. That's the updated version of the NIV. The word in Hebrew is a bit obscure. It can mean either or. And they're taking the slant as musicians because there's so much emphasis on not just the singing, but the musicians playing in this text. I would say the theme of this is rejoice with thanksgiving. That seems to be, to me, it's the case. Once the settlements were announced, the people called for those singers, musicians, to come together. And these musicians, they played cymbals and trumpets and psalteries. If you don't know what that is, that's like a guitar today. It would have been a box-stringed instrument. And U-shaped instruments called lyres that we might think of as harps. They played these while they literally danced around the gates of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know what they played, but I can't imagine it being quiet or solemn. Can you? I mean, even the instruments that are talked about, the ones that are emphasized here, the idea that they make noise, some of them. And the other thing is they're small enough that they can carry, again, while they dance. I get the impression it was probably quite loud and probably very celebratory. And did you notice they also had two choirs? Two. Each were perched on top of opposing walls, and they sang to the congregation assembled below. Again, I don't know what they sang exactly. I don't know whether they were hymns or choruses or chants. Probably, once again, as we've stressed, nothing we'd really recognize, but they were songs that were meant to inspire and encourage. To do what? Inspire them, encourage them to do what? Well, in the text, verse 24 tells us that it was to inspire and encourage them to give praise and thanksgiving. In verse 27, to celebrate joyfully with thanksgiving. And again, verse 31 and 40, we're told that the choir had a specific purpose, and it was to give thanks. Huh. Now, when I planned this series almost 3 months ago, and I was plotting it out, and I was trying to do a chapter a week, there were a couple of times when I saw, like this week, that there are a couple of chapters I probably should put together because maybe the one is just a list of names. I don't mean that to come out wrong, because that's inspired of God as well. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of meat in the message there, you know, so sometimes I combined. But I only did that one other time besides now. And guess what? It came out that today, we're in chapter 12. Today, the theme is about thanksgiving. Huh. How weird is that? You know, and I was surprised when I did it, but I don't know why. But when I plotted it out, I looked, and I didn't even look at the dates. I was just thinking, okay, how many Sundays? Da, 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 da. And then I started putting it on a calendar, and it was like, on the 24th, it's going to be a theme of what? Thanksgiving. And apparently, as best as I can understand, this event that we're reading about here took place right around the same time of year as we're in now. That the Feast of Tabernacles or booths that we read about that began this whole process, we read about that would have been in October. And it's been a little bit of a while. So probably right around this time, right after the harvest. And what are they doing? Giving thanks. Expressing thanksgiving. In verse 43, we read there something interesting. It says, they were rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Again, does it sound quiet, solemn? They be heard far away. The word for joy or a form of it is found four times in this single verse. Look at that. They pulled out the stops in joyful thanksgiving. Men, women, and children. Once again, sometimes we think that we can't really express ourselves and have a lot of joyful thanksgiving unless we segregate. We got to segregate before we can celebrate. You know what I'm talking about? It shouldn't be the case. Should we be able to collectively gather men, women, and children and celebrate together praise and thanksgiving to God? We sure ought to be able to. Don't you think? We're supposed to get something from this text, and I'm just not sure what it is. Unless we're supposed to celebrate with joy together as a family. What do you think? Some of us may need to hear that. Especially when, by the expressions on the faces of some on a Sunday, one might think they just bit into a lemon. Especially, again, if the song that's selected or chosen doesn't quite suit them. But think about it for a moment. We have every reason to joyfully celebrate and praise God no matter what song is sung. Amen? We should be filled with enthusiastic praise. We should be so moved that it's all we can do to keep from getting up from our seats and dancing. That is, if we're getting our joy where they got it. Where'd they get it? From the song? Did they get it from the service? Where'd it come from? It says the Lord gave it to them, right? The Lord gave them great joy. If we'll open our hearts, He'll fill us with great joy too. If we'll open our hearts to live in a relationship with Him and recognize all He's done for us, that we have a place in the kingdom because of Him, we have this security, we have this hope in Him, we should rejoice. Amen? We should rejoice. Paul, in Ephesians 5, writes this, verse 17 and following, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to a loss of self-control. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. In verse 20, he says this, always giving thanks to God, the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me that he adds this tag, if you will, in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I get the impression from that alone that we ought to get to a place where, as Becky said earlier, where we recognize it's not about us. It's not about us. And in the passage, it talks certainly about speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, being concerned more about the other person than even ourselves, to want to speak to them and teach them and admonish them and encourage them to do what? To give thanks. To give thanks with joy in our hearts. To do that. But there's also this point of giving thanks to who? To God. To God. If our direction in our assembly is only, then we're missing something, right? But yes, speak to one another, but to do what? To encourage one another to give thanks to God. Give thanks for everything to God. If we refuse to do that because the melody or the tempo doesn't please us, again, we're looking to find our joy in the wrong place. It's not a song that's produced the joy. It's the joy to produce a song. The relationship with the Lord should be what moves us to celebrate and thank God and praise Him with great joy. The past several weeks, I've had a great privilege on Thursday mornings. Nina, who many of you know, watches the Fuller's grandchild, little Lily, Lily Pad I call her. She takes her to library school, to the library over on State Street. And lately, she's been taking Natalie as well, the Harrison's little girl. And she just asked, she said, you know, are you free? Have you got time where you could maybe come and help? And if I don't have another lunch appointment, something that's going to dissuade me from that, sure, I'd like to do that. So I go. And it's fun. It is fun. I have a good time. I look forward to that. It's great. They play with some toys for a little while, and then they have a story read to them, and then comes their favorite time, it seems like, and that's the sing and dance time. It's my favorite time, too, to be honest with you, okay? And it probably will not surprise you that Nina and I don't sit down and say, go on, kids, go sing and dance. No, we sing and dance with them. That, you know what, I could say, well, oh, there's that song again. Or I'm sure they don't do that. It's like, oh, it's that song. It's that song, kids. We get that song. Okay? And so there are emotions in them, too, you know. And there's the one song just called Spin Again. And there's a drum roll just before you get to spin. And I always tell Natalie, no, wait. Wait for the cue. Remember, like your daddy plays drums. Wait for the drums. And then I'll take her by the hand, or if it's Lily, you know, and Nina's got the other one. And when that part comes, guess what we do? We spin. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin. And we spin and spin. And they giggle and they cackle and they laugh. And guess what? I do the same thing with them. And you know what? It gives me joy to see such joy in them. It does. That just blesses my heart. And I'm convinced in my heart of hearts that the Father in heaven is pleased to see joy in His children. I'm not talking about some wild reveling apart from Him, but I'm talking about those who want to dance in His presence, those who want to sing and praise God in His presence, those who want to just rejoice in His presence and rejoice with Him and reach out to Him as those kids do to me. I love that. And my Father in heaven loves that. He loves that when we do that. When we're ready to celebrate and dance and sing in His presence. I'm certain of that because long ago, according to verse 48, God arranged there to be songs of praise and thanksgiving to Him. He tells us that He planned for that. How many of you know He deserves it? How many of you know He desires it? And guess what? He also decrees it. That's great. He decrees it. And they pour themselves out in giving it to Him. The Lord intends for us to do the same, see? He wants us to pour ourselves out, giving again Him praise and thanksgiving. If you love to sing songs of praise to God like I do, I've got some good news for you. Are you ready? Not only do we have liberty to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, we have His permission. It's one thing to say, you know what, well, I have liberty in Christ to do this because there's nothing that says I can't do it. But we not only know that we have liberty to do it, we have this permission to do it, and even more than that, we have His blessing. We have His blessing. We can be assured this morning that praising Him with thanksgiving is something He wants for us to do. It may tire some to hear others sing what seems like endless choruses of praise and thanksgiving, but listen, unless I'm badly mistaken, God never wearies of it. never. So often, I think we think about Thanksgiving time, and we think that Thanksgiving is only for turkey at the table. You know, that's Thanksgiving. That's our Thanksgiving. No, our Thanksgiving ought to be a daily expression of gratitude and praise to God. All the time. It seems only appropriate to acknowledge how blessed I believe we are here at Calvary Christian Church. Our choir is outstanding. Our praise team and our musicians have wonderful, wonderful gifts and hearts. I'm so thankful for the hearts God has given all of them. Each of them to prayerfully prepare each week to lead us in praise and thanksgiving. They humbly accept the responsibility to do that every week. May we accept our responsibility to respond. How sad it would have been if in Nehemiah's time, if the musicians and the singers and the choir were all there and they were pouring themselves out and the congregation responded with a, oh. How sad that would be. But they didn't. And neither should we. We should come prepared to pour our hearts out. And then when we're spurred on and we're led to do that, to do that very thing. David wrote in Psalm 95, first three verses, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let's whisper about the joy we have inside. Oh, I don't think it says that, does it? Let's shout aloud with joy to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let us come joyful to him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. It's sad that we need to be reminded to do that. It's sad in one respect that we need to be prompted to do that. We need to be spurred on to that, sometimes even guilted to do that. That's a shame. Because the Thanksgiving should be spontaneous. It should overflow out of hearts of gratitude for all God has done for us. And for us, the simple recognition that he has given us his Son so freely that we can live with him eternally. That we can dine, not a Thanksgiving table with turkey, but a table of thanksgiving with him every Lord's Day, but throughout eternity we'll feast with him. We saw a couple of weeks ago where they were encouraged, you know, to not be mourning and grieving, but they were to go and eat choice foods and sweet drinks. How many of you have felt guilty at Thanksgiving? Enjoy it. Praise God for it. Give thanks for it and celebrate what he's done for you in Christ. Enjoy. You have not only liberty, you have God's permission, you have his dictate. Do it. Celebrate and praise him.